Good morning. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. According to the Institute of Medicine of the National Academies, more than 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain. That's almost one-third of the U.S. population. Medications and procedures like injections, nerve burning, nerve blocking, and surgery can play a significant role in chronic pain management, but it's also important to consider alternative therapies like acupuncture. Living with chronic pain can also take away from family relationships and interfere with work and leading a healthy lifestyle, so taking a holistic view of a patient's situation is also an important part of managing chronic pain. Joining me here in the KSJD studios this morning is Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System here in Cortez. Good morning, Dustin.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining me this morning. Let's just start off. How would you define chronic pain?
So the chronic portion of it, that's left up to some interpretation. Usually people say after about 3 or 6 months, something goes from what's called acute, which is short-term, into chronic. So there's nothing rigid, but usually, you know, after a couple of months when something becomes chronic and persistent, and pain is... Actually, pain is more than just a physical pain. If you look at that, there's an International Society for Pain, and they define it as an emotional, sensory, or physical disturbance. So it's all of those things put together. Yeah.
So do you usually work with pain as it relates to injuries or something that's come out of a disease or something like that, or is it just something that can kind of build up over time?
All of the above, to be quite honest. I see patients that have had trauma, accidents, with persistent pain, a lot of people who have degenerative pain, pain that's, you know, kind of progressed as they've aged, all manners of things, pain specifically related to certain disease states. Yeah.
So in a traditional sense, how would, you know, in years past, let's say over the past 20 years or so, how has pain been treated traditionally?
Good. That's a good question. And there's a wide variety here. It's interesting. There's a guy, William Osler, who he's one of the guys that founded John Hopkins, but very astute. And he said, it's more important to know what sort of patient has a disease than what sort of disease a patient has. So really thinking about the patient first and then thinking about the pain in the context of that patient and then deciding how to treat it. So within the realm of pain treatment, you have surgeons who obviously do surgical treatments. You have people who really primarily do medical management, and you have people who kind of approach it more holistically, which is what I hope I do, and that's putting everything together and coming up with a treatment plan that is more tailored to the patient and more kind of broad spectrum.
Do you find that people live with pain for a long time before they ever come to someone like you to say, hey, I really need help here?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, I think we all hope, and we've all experienced pain that goes away. You know, and then you say, hey, this is going to go away. It went away last time, or I'm not worried about this. And then it persists. And unfortunately, sometimes when it, and most often when it crosses from that acute to that chronic realm, then it becomes more difficult to treat. The longer you have pain, the harder it is to treat. So people are generally really good about following their, you know, how they feel. And then at some point, a lot of times it's family that says, I've had enough of this. It's a spouse or a family member that says, I'm tired of this. You need to go see somebody because this is affecting our lives.
So that's really interesting. So the patient themselves, they're able to live with the pain, but those around them are seeing this pain and they're going, come on, go do something about this.
Sure.
That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, sure. There are a lot of people that say, I can live with this pain. I'm doing just fine. And you talk, and I love it. I love it when a spouse comes in or, you know, another family member, and I ask the patient, I say, so how are you doing with this? Are you able to do what you want to do? And they say, yeah, I'm doing fine. You know, it hurts, but I'm getting through it. And you know, the spouse is in the seat next to them, and they're shaking their head. They say, no. You know, you can barely get off the couch. You're no longer working. You're angry with us. And so that's the thing. I mean, that's the really important part about pain is it affects everybody. It can affect everybody if it goes on long enough.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System in Cortez. And today we're talking about how to treat chronic pain and its effects on not just the patient, but family as well. Dustin, let's talk a little bit about what types of procedures and injections that you're working with now.
Okay. So in general, most of what I see is joint and spine care. I see a wide spectrum of pain, but the most of what I see is joint and spine. And most of my spine care injections are done at the hospital with an X-ray machine so that you can visualize the joints and the bones in the spine and help guide the needles or whatever it is that I'm using back there. In the joint realm, I do a lot of musculoskeletal ultrasound, and this is something that's relatively new. It's something that I did some research on when I was at Mayo Clinic, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. Ultrasound is, there's no radiation. It helps you guide the needle exactly where you want that medicine to go. You can avoid nerves, vessels, spinal cords, lungs, which are really important because these are complications of injections that sometimes happen. So that's in general what I do for my joint and spine care. Most of my joint care is done in my office procedurally, and most of my spine care is done at the hospital.
When you talk about an injection, are you talking about what most people would envision, a syringe with a needle on it? I mean, is that what it looks like?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's funny, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts of what I do probably hasn't changed significantly in 100 years. Basically, you put a needle where you want it to go. What changes is what comes out the tip of the needle and how you get it there. How you get it there, as I just said, in the spine is with an X-ray machine to go exactly where I want to go, and it, with joints with an ultrasound machine. And then usually, for most joints or spine care, you inject some steroid and a little bit of numbing medication. But what's changed in the last 20 years are new procedures, nerve burning procedures, where you can go in and burn nerves that actually take a pain signal from a painful joint in the spine, let's say, and that pain signal goes to the brain. And if you burn that relay cable, that nerve, the pain signal is lost. So that's another thing. And there are all sorts of other things that can be delivered through the needle. Platelet-rich plasma is something that you hear a lot about in the sports world right now. You can do that. Just a number of things that can be delivered. So it's changing. We're getting better medications and different things to put through the needle, but the principles are still the same. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how it has changed, because I assume that there's been some advances in technology over the last 5 or 10 years or so that have really helped not only deliver these types of procedures, but also to help diagnose what's happening. Can you talk a little bit about how technology has helped out there?
Sure. Yeah. Technology has been great on a number of levels, both from, you know, targeted, rational pharmacologic therapeutics, meaning we have great medicines now for specific types of pain. We have better imaging studies. So we have MRIs, CAT scans, X-rays, ultrasounds, you name it, which is fantastic. But there's a flip side of that. And the flip side is they don't tell us everything. So I often tell my patients when they come in, they've had imaging, a lot of them, and I say, let's sit and talk. I want to listen to you. I want to examine you. And then let's put that in the context of this imaging study. So with MRIs, MRIs are great. We've actually done some studies where we took, you know, hundreds of people off the street, male, female, older, younger, MRI'd their back and tried to predict who's going to have pain. We can't do it. You cannot do it. And I see this all day long. So it's really important to know that patient and examine the patient and listen to them and then put that in the context of whatever imaging study you're looking at. They're great, but they're just a tool.
Does part of that have to do with the way that people experience pain? Because, I mean, we all have, I mean, you hear about pain thresholds and these kinds of things. So someone might, I mean, I think about someone who might be really in a lot of pain, but they're like, oh, I don't even really feel it.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. We all experience pain differently. And what we think is painful is different. I mean, you and I, you could smash your thumb and I could smash my thumb. It may be a 10 for me. It may be a 1 for you. I may take the day off work. You might just go and keep on with your day. And all of that's all this other part of being human that comes to play with that. It's who we are in our community, our work, our job, our church, our family. All those psychosocial things are really important. Have we had painful experiences in the past? Do we have current pains elsewhere? All of those come to play in how we experience that pain and how it affects us.
Yeah. You're tuned into the Thursday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder, and this morning we're talking about management of chronic pain. My guest is Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System in Cortez. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Zine. This is KSJD, Dryland Community Radio. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System here in Cortez, Colorado. And we're talking this morning about pain and managing chronic pain. Dustin, as it relates to alternative therapies, things like acupuncture and other kinds of things, where does that come in? And when do you say to a patient, hey, you know, maybe you should pursue some of these alternative therapies?
Every patient that comes in my office, actually, I have a spiel. I'm sure if anybody's listening to this right now, they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard this a million times. But I generally say, you know, in general, there's kind of five things you can do for any pain. There's therapy, and that's, you know, a bigger kind of group of things, medications, injections, surgery, and then complementary alternative. And that includes, I mean, that's chiropractic manipulation is a lot of people in this community. I think acupuncture, there's really good evidence for acupuncture and chronic pain, osteopathic manipulation. My take is this, if something helps a person and it doesn't hurt them physically or financially, who am I to stand in the way of them being successful in treating their pain? So,
are there any other things that are out there sort of on the horizon in terms of alternatives that people are looking at that you might consider saying, hey, maybe check this thing out?
Well, there's always, when you look at nutraceuticals or herbal medications, there's always something new coming up, you know, and as with medications even, regular medications, does the evidence bear it out? Does experience bear it out? There's nothing specific on the horizon right now. There's, for instance, in herbally, there's something called turmeric, which has been a seasoning in Eastern dishes for a while. There's a group in Arizona, I think at the University of Arizona, that's been using turmeric to treat chronic pain and specifically arthritis pain. We think that has something to do with new little vessels that grow in there, and that turmeric inhibits or prevents those vessels from growing. So
is that just ingested, like you would eat it?
Just like you'd eat it. And nobody really knows kind of what the standard thresholds are. So that's something that I try and do. I mean, pain is a big field, but trying to keep on some of these other things. And there are a lot of people in our community that seek out acupuncture manipulation. And, you know, I think you have to validate that. I think the minute you dismiss that as being ineffectual or quackery, you've lost the game. Yeah.
Let's get back to this idea. I think one of the things that's very interesting to me, we were talking earlier about how everybody experiences pain differently and how a lot of times it's the people around you that are seeing your pain that can say, hey, you really need to go get some help, or this is going on too long. What happens, or talk a little bit more about that and how important it is for, say, a patient to bring in a spouse or a friend or somebody to sort of reflect off of when it comes to how much pain they're really going through.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And it gets to the function part. So when we're talking about pain scores, is it a 1 or a 10? Well, it doesn't really work that well in chronic pain. What are you doing? What's this pain keeping you from doing? And then when that spouse is there, or a child sometimes even says, well, you know, we don't play as much as we used to, or dad doesn't come out and do this with me anymore. And hearing that and having the patient sometimes hear how their pain and their pain behaviors are affecting their family and the ones around them, for them to hear that can be really powerful. And then, you know, that gets to, hey, how are we going to help with this? Sometimes it's not just medications. It's not just injections or surgery. Sometimes really working through with some mental health specialists can be very helpful. And that's not saying that the pain is in somebody's head. It's saying that a lot of times, if you have pain long enough, anxiety and depression can really, really worsen the situation and really bring your family into the picture as well.
It does seem like there would be sort of a feedback loop there, kind of a spiraling downward. As you feel more pain, you withdraw, maybe you don't lead as healthy as a lifestyle, you might make worse choices in terms of diet. So I can totally see how that would happen to a patient, and suddenly they're just like, this is awful. What am I going to do with myself at this point?
Yeah, you know? That's exactly it. I mean, nobody sets out to be in chronic pain. Nobody wakes right up someday and says, I want to be overweight, I want to be depressed and have anxiety and be in chronic pain. These things happen and we end up in these places. And when we end up there, it's how do we do our best to get out of those? And it's not an easy fix, and it really takes a commitment on everybody's part, but especially the patient, you know, to work toward that. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. My guest this morning is Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System in Cortez. I'm Tom Yoder, and we're talking this morning about chronic pain management and the experiences around pain. You know, it also strikes me, Dustin, that our culture plays a role here. America has this sort of just tough it out, you know, a little bit of pain, it just builds character, and, you know, it's okay to be in pain. Do you find that that is a hurdle sometimes for people seeking help?
I think that and the flip side of the coin, you know, you have farmers that come in and these guys have the worst joint disease you've ever seen. And they're still out there building fences and doing remarkable things. And, you know, again, it gets back to what our expectation of pain is and how we've been brought up and who we are kind of in our culture. There's a different kind of a shift, and that is, what does pharma do? What does business do for our expectation of pain? So I think there's kind of been this expectation that nobody should be in pain. You see an ad, it says, you should not be in pain. We have something that can make sure you will not be in pain. So there's that aspect of it too. And people come in and say, I shouldn't be in pain. Well, my hope is that you wouldn't be in pain. We'll do everything we can. But sometimes it's not reasonable to expect that you're going to have your pain go away entirely. My goal really is to help patients manage their pain. But so, culture plays a huge role in this.
Yeah. I can see why it would. I think sometimes as we're talking about this, and I'm kind of envisioning someone who might be in a lot of pain, family, friends are looking at this person going, wow, they should really seek help. If you have a loved one that you know is really in pain, what's really the right thing to do? Is it you try to convince them to go seek help, or is there any other way that you can kind of get help for that person without, I don't know, maybe they're just being stubborn and they say, oh, I'm fine, you know, or whatever. I mean, what should someone do if they're in that situation?
That is very, very difficult, because ultimately, unless the patient or that person decides this is something they're willing to do, it's often futile, and it's so frustrating both for the patient and the family. And conversations, sometimes just open conversations saying, I know, gosh, I can see this is affecting you. Please understand how this is affecting us. For that reason, we'd really like you to go and see somebody, and so we can work on this together. But it's very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. If people want to find out more, are there some good resources out there on the web? Or, I mean, I'm assuming they could call you and talk to you, but are there some good resources out there that you could recommend people go to find out more?
Yeah, there are a number of societies, and each medical society, pain society, has its own bend. Some of them are very pro-intervention, pro-injections, pro-narcotics. Some of them lean towards being more conservative. With specific disease or pain states, MayoClinic.com actually has some pretty good information. And then in general, just looking more at comprehensive pain. So if you're going to get on the web, you know, and you say back pain, you're going to find everything from lasers to medications to surgery.
Almost too much information.
That's right. Yeah, so such is the bane of the information era. But really trying to find something that's more reputable and going to take kind of a more holistic approach to that. Yeah.
And if folks do want to contact you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. My office number, 970-565-0712. And just talk to my office manager, Kim. Typically, I see patients in consultation, so I ask that they have a referral from their primary care doctor or a specialist. And I actually do quite a bit of research on my patients before they come in. So I ask if they've had surgery or seen other providers. I get all the information that I can before they come in there, so that we can really sit down and really maximize that time and make the most of that interaction.
Well, Dustin, thanks so much for coming in and talking with me this morning. It's good work that you're doing.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
That's Dr. Dustin Cole. He's a pain management specialist with Southwest Health System in Cortez. You've been listening to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder.